Reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, but also in the back of our Red Trinity songbooks, we'll be looking at Belgic Confession Article 3. Belgic Confession Article 3, but first let's read from 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter. It's found on page 1207, 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll start at verse 16 and read to the end of the chapter there. Again, remember that our focus is on the authority of God's Word. How do we know that the Bible is trustworthy and that those who wrote the human authors that God used, that they actually wrote what God wanted them to write? They weren't making things up on their own authority. That's what the focus is going to be on this morning. So let's read from 2 Peter 1 at verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And it's particularly verse 20 and 21 that's going to be our focus. We'll also be looking at Article 3 in our Belgic Confession. If you want to follow along, this is page 855, 855 in the back of our red songbooks. This is Article 3, Belgic Confession, page 855. The title here, The Written Word of God. Article 3, we confess that this Word of God was not sent nor delivered by the will of men, but that holy men of God spoke, being moved by the Holy Spirit, as Peter says, "Afterwards our God, because of the special care he has for us and for our salvation, commanded his servants, the prophets and apostles, to commit this revealed word to writing. He himself wrote with his own finger the two tablets of the law. Therefore, we call such writings holy and divine scriptures." And that's as far as reading in the Belgic Confession. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how do you know that the Bible is a reliable authority? It is true and trustworthy. Is it a reliable guide that we can trust and depend and look to for proper direction? That we would be steered, if you will, on the proper path. From time to time, you will find in the news that there was some unsuspecting suspect who was following their GPS and ended in a place that they did not intend. Just this past week, I saw a news article. There was a delivery driver following the GPS on his phone and ended stuck in a swamp somewhere. He followed the GPS and ended up in a place that he did not expect, a place that he did not want to go. How do we know that the Bible is not guiding us in the wrong way? How do we know that the Bible is authoritative and true and that it will bring us where we want to be, to our intended destination? Is the Bible a trustworthy guide? Does it have the correct insight and direction to lead us in the path of righteousness and life? Well, today we're going to consider this theme, that Jesus Christ inspires his chosen vessels to carry his message. Jesus Christ inspires his chosen vessels. Our article says the prophets and apostles were filled, were given the words that they needed to say and speak and write so that we would receive from Jesus Christ his message. In our first point, then, we are going to identify false prophets. What makes a distinction between a true prophet sent from God and a false prophet? Back to our illustration, how do we know if a GPS is leading us wrong? Well, the only way to tell if the GPS is to be trusted, ultimately, is if you arrive at your destination. If you don't arrive at your destination, then that GPS is not trustworthy. Well, we find a similar thing in our scriptures. We can trust the Bible if it leads us to the intended destination. If any writing or teaching or man's intellect or visions or wisdom, if these lead us in a way that is not where we want to be, then we know that these teachings of men are not to be trusted. In 2 Peter 1, verse 16, Peter puts it this way. The holy prophets and apostles, the men of old, who were inspired by God, did not speak myths. For that's 2 Peter 1:16. They did not speak myths. They were not cleverly devising their own ideas. The prophets and apostles of old were not scheming and coming up with their own plans. Their messages did not have their source, did not have their origin in their own ideas or plans. In fact, Scripture would call those who are coming up with their own ideas and teaching from their own wisdom, Scripture would call them blind guides, false prophets. A few examples that we find so prevalent in our world today. Ideas, concepts, teachings that have its origin in man's wisdom would be the myth of evolution, for example. Or the myth that if you want happiness, you follow your own desires. That you should submit your life to your own feelings. That you should follow your heart at the expense of verifiable truth. These false prophets in our world today put words into the mouth of God by claiming authority. We have one example given to us in Scripture. An example of a false prophet in Jeremiah 28. This particular prophet was called Hananiah, and he was a contemporary of Jeremiah, but their messages were very different. As you will know, Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He foretold times of great hardship and trial and tribulation. This is going to be a really difficult time. And yet Hananiah was speaking prosperity and peace. Hananiah spoke, as we read earlier, the yoke of Babylon is soon to be broken. Nebuchadnezzar is going to fall, and all of those vessels that were taken from the temple are going to be returned. All the young men who had been brought to captivity are going to be returned. Everything that you want as an Israelite is going to be given to you in this life. Your best life is soon at hand. Prosperity and peace. But the problem with the message that Hananiah was speaking is he was speaking prosperity and peace without repentance. That God is going to give you everything that you want. He's going to heal your wounds without dealing with a source, without dealing with the problem of sin. What Hananiah was doing is he was telling the people what they wanted to hear. And as you know, when you tell people what they want to hear, they tend to reward you. Scripture calls this people who have itching ears. This is from 2 Timothy 4. They have itching ears, and therefore they find teachers to suit their own passions. This is very similar to what we would call the prosperity gospel of today. So-called preachers who say things like this: God has a wonderful plan for your life. If you name it in prayer, you can claim it. These are simply men speaking their own wisdom, telling people what they want to hear, knowing that they will be rewarded in kind. There is always a danger in popularity. And this is particularly dangerous for people in positions of authority if they tell those who are under them what they want to hear and not the truth. False prophets, blind guides. But what Hananiah said, where there would be blessings upon you without any need for repentance and national revival, that God's going to simply return what he took, this was not true. And it was not going to happen. So the Lord sends Jeremiah with a word of warning. This is later on in Jeremiah 28. The Lord said to Hananiah, I have not sent you. Hananiah, you are speaking lies, and you have made people trust lies. Instead of exposing your sin and your need for salvation and deliverance, you are healing wounds lightly. Therefore, the Lord said to Hananiah, I will remove you from the face of this earth because of your utter rebellion. And in that same year, Hananiah, the false prophet, died. The Lord God does not take kindly to people who pretend to speak on behalf of the Lord and speak lies. So putting this back in the context of 2 Peter 1, Peter is here saying, we did not follow cleverly devised myths. We, as the apostles, are not speaking to you on our own authority. We're not telling you what you want to hear. Rather, as we move now into our second point, the first mark of a true prophet is that they are sent from God, they speak God's word, and they have the authority of God himself. The prophet of old used to speak. They would start their proclamations by saying, thus saith the Lord. The prophets are not making up their own ideas, and the apostles are not writing down their own cleverly devised myths. They are writing down what the Lord had told them to speak. As our children will remember from 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The scriptures are breathed out from God. They are inspired by God, spirit-filled. The central mark of true prophecy is that it comes from God and it has the authority of God. Our passage in 2 Peter 1:21 puts it like this. The prophets and apostles, men from God, spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. They were carried along by the Holy Spirit. They were moved, or they were like ships driven along the sea by the very breath, by the wind of God, being inflamed, set on fire by the Holy Spirit. They were trumpets filled with the voice of God. They were heralds. A herald is someone who speaks for the king, who speaks the word of the king, and speaks on the authority of the king. A herald does not have the right to make up his own message. He has to speak verbatim what the king says. And here we find what is called verbal inspiration. Verbal inspiration. Verbal inspiration means that the prophets and apostles who spoke on the authority of God were not free to alter or adjust these words. They were speaking on behalf of God himself, his word. Jeremiah 20 illustrates it like this. Jeremiah says, there is a fire in my bones. There is a raging flame in my belly. I cannot contain it. Jeremiah did not have the option. He had to speak because he was sent from the Lord. Paul would compare these men to earthen jars, clay pots. They were vessels of God, chosen to carry the riches of the Lord. So the first mark in true prophecy is that they speak from God on the authority of God. The second mark of true prophecy is that when a prophecy concerning a future event is foretold, and that event comes to be, you know that this prophet is true. This was the contention that Jeremiah had with Hananiah in Jeremiah 28. Remember Jeremiah 28, verse 9, we stopped reading at this verse, that here Jeremiah says, if the words of a prophet come to pass, then it is known that the Lord has truly sent this prophet. So how could the Israelites know if Hananiah was telling the truth, that in a few years everything is going to be go back to the way it was, you're going to have your riches, and your men are going to be returned who were brought to captivity? That's what Hananiah said. And Jeremiah said, make peace in the land in which you dwell. You're going to be there for a generation. Which one of those came to be? Well, Jeremiah says, you know a prophet is true if what he prophesies comes to be. Well, with Hananiah, he died, and what he prophesied did not come to be. But with Jeremiah, what he foretold, or what the Lord foretold through him, came to be, as you see in the life of Daniel, just for one example. These things that were foretold came to be, proving that this one had been sent by the Lord. If you're reading throughout the Old Testament, you find these prophecies concerning, for example, Daniel, another example, this vision that Daniel interpreted told of the rise and fall of kingdoms. Daniel foretelling what would take place years in advance. Did these things come to be? Yes, they did, proving that Daniel was a servant of the Lord. Or if you look at some of the minor prophets at the end of the Old Testament, foretelling the place that Jesus Christ would be born, foretelling the name that he would receive, the names that would be attributed to him, the work that he would perform, and the time period in which he would come. These things are all fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Therefore, we can trust that these men were prophets sent by God. And in fact, as Jesus Christ himself says in Matthew 5, I have come to fulfill the law and the prophets. Jesus Christ's arrival was a unique way, a very clear way of fulfilling the prophecies that had been foretold about him years in advance, proving that these men, these prophets of old, were faithful prophets sent by the Lord. So the second mark of true prophecy is that their word is fulfilled. The third mark of true prophecy is that what they speak is based on factual events. They are not myths. What they talk about really happened. Peter references this in verse 18 of our text. Here speaking to those who he was writing to, Peter says, when we were speaking to you about what we have seen, what we have heard, we heard the voice, this is verse 18, we heard the voice that was born from heaven, we were with him on the holy mountain. So when Peter is talking about the miraculous vision of Jesus Christ being transformed in their sight, when the Father spoke, this is my Son, and they saw his clothes turned as white and as brilliant as lightning. When Peter is speaking, referring to these events, these were not things that he was making up. He was a first-hand witness. And he testifies that these things really took place. So Peter is a reliable testimony. So when it comes to the apostolic witness, they were first-generation men who had seen and heard and witnessed and were able to record all these things concerning Jesus Christ. Therefore, they are to be trusted. And some of the false religions and heresies that come in later generations, they claim to have secret wisdom and secret knowledge, even though they had no connection and were not even living when Jesus Christ was on the face of this earth. Rather, we are to trust the apostolic witness and testimony because they were there. They saw, they heard, they walked, and they talked with Jesus Christ. Therefore, we can be assured that what they are saying is true. This is truth that is revealed to them, not by men, but by the Holy Spirit. The fourth and final mark is that those who are true prophets are filled with the Holy Spirit. They are Spirit-enabled to speak the truth. You might remember this when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter responded, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus responds to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because this was revealed to you not by men, but was revealed to you by my Father." It is spiritual truth that the Holy Spirit enabled Peter to see. So it stands that these men, these prophets of old, were filled with the Spirit, and the apostles are filled with the Spirit. The work of speaking divine on divine authority is a work that the Holy Spirit enabled them to do. 1 John 4 puts it like this: "Anyone who acknowledges that Jesus is the Christ has been sent from God and has the Spirit dwelling within them." So it is by the Spirit that this truth is revealed. Now, why is this so important for us to know, this fourth and final mark? That it is by the Holy Spirit that the prophets of old and the apostles in the New Testament were able to speak on the authority of God. That they're to speak the very word of God. The reason this is so important is because the same Spirit that filled these men of old enabled these men to write and record what was necessary for our salvation. It is the same Spirit that preserves and protects this word so that it is passed down to us in our kept safe in our very hands. In other words, the 66 books that were written by various men over various years, living in different times and places with different occupations, the question we have to answer is, how do we know that what we have in our hands has the authority of God? How do we know that these are the words that God wants us to know, that this has the authority, the voice of God? We call this God's word all the time, don't we? How do we know that these 66 books are trustworthy, that they have the authority of God? And the answer is the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that filled the prophets and apostles, that enabled them to write what was necessary for our salvation, continues His work, His care, His preservation, so that what we need to know is here brought safely into our hands. The verbal inspiration of the Word is a divine work, and it is the same Spirit that keeps these words safe for our care and for our salvation. Reading the Bible is reading the Word of God. The Bible does not contain God's Word. It is God's Word, spoken with authority. Well, now that we understand the authority of God's Word, what remains at our last point then is, how do we respond to this? If it is true, and since it is true, that the Holy Spirit has preserved these words for us, an authoritative witness, prophecies that were foretold are fulfilled, and we read of their fulfilling in these words. First-hand testimony, witness concerning Jesus Christ, His person and His work, here contained. How should we respond? Well, the first and most basic response to receiving God's word as it is simply this: to acknowledge it. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 31. Here Paul writing to the Thessalonians: "We thank God for this, that when you received the word of God, you accepted it not as the words of men, but as it really is, the word of God, So Paul says concerning the letters that he had written to the church, you accepted it as it is. This is not the words of some man. This is the word of God. And the Christians accepted it and acknowledged it, treated it differently from all other human writings. This is the word of God. The second thing we need to do, not only do we acknowledge it as the word of God, the second thing we need to do is we need to pay attention to it. Look again at our passage in 2 Peter 1, verse 21. Well, let's start at verse 20. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own authority, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Acknowledging it as true means that we need to pay close attention to it. That's verse 19. I skipped that one. Sorry. Verse 19. And we have this prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you do well to pay attention to, as a lamp shining in the dark place. How do we respond to the word of God? By paying attention to it. By submitting to it. In fact, it is in your best interest to pay attention to God's word. To heed to it. To be devoted to it. To submit to it. Going back to Article 3 in the Belgic Confession, we find that because of a special care that God has for us and for our salvation, he commanded his servants, the prophets and apostles, to commit this revealed word to writing, as he himself wrote with his own finger the two tablets of the law. It is in, brothers and sisters, it is in your best interest to pay close attention to the words of the Bible. Because in these words, we find salvation. God, with a special care for us and for our salvation, has delivered these words to us. You do very well. It's in your best interest to pay close attention, because in reading them and submitting to them, this word becomes a lamp to your feet and a light to your path, leading to salvation and eternal life. As we close, we confess that although the Bible was written by various men over various ages, its origin, its authority, and its reliability rests completely on our God. As we all confess, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's breathed out by God. As Peter says, men did not speak on their own authority, their own wishes and whims and myths. They were driven along, filled with the Spirit himself. All Scripture is God-breathed. Not just the law, as it was inscribed by the finger of God. Not just the red letters that Jesus spoke. All Scripture, every word, is inspired by God and carries his authority. When and where God speaks, he speaks with authority. Not one word is wasted. Every jot and tittle, every single dot, every cross of the T will be fulfilled. What we need to know for our care and our salvation is here contained. So as God's people, let us be committed to being people of the Word. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Scriptures that we might read. We thank you for the authority of your Word, and we submit to it. We thank you that the Holy Spirit was active not only in the work of inspiration, he was active in the writing of these words, and he continues his work in protecting and preserving these words so that we can receive them as a good deposit placed in our care. May we, as your people, submit ourselves to your word. May we pay close attention to it, knowing that your word leads us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response.